Hi, my name is Slinky. Thank you for listening to My Mom. I never listen.
"24 Hours Nothing But Net" continues to introduce us to great stories around the country about why Special Olympics is so important to everybody, not just the athletes, but to those that volunteer, that coach, that get involved in other ways. So we're joined from Chapel Hill by my two friends, Rachel Gear and her son, Kendall. Thanks, you guys, for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
You're
so, Rachel, you and I met with Kendall several years ago, and I know you're a very strong advocate for your son. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you're doing right now to make sure that Kendall gets all the supports that he needs.
I think that since the day that Kendall was born, it just, like, this empowering movement came over me that I made a decision that, you know, me, my family, we were going to do everything we could possibly do here in our local community and reach as far as we could to make sure that Kendall was receiving, the best possible support and resources that, you know, he could get. And so here in our local community, we're very involved with UNC Athletics and doing everything we can with a lot of the different teams, both men's and women's, to advocate for Down syndrome specifically, but for all of our friends who have different abilities and getting them involved in sports and allowing the student athletes at UNC to use their platform to help us spread the word, promote positivity and awareness around Down syndrome. UNC has also just started a brand new Down syndrome clinic. So I am spending some time involved there and helping get that clinic up and running from a parent perspective. And so that's been something really, really exciting to see here in our local community, that we'll have a comprehensive clinic that will reach people definitely all over the state of North Carolina, but also all over the country. I'm also involved with our local Gigi's Playhouse, which is a Down Syndrome Achievement Center. And so Gigi's Playhouse basically does everything it can to support individuals with Down syndrome from birth all the way through adulthood, as well as their families, by providing programming for free. So I spend a lot of time doing that. I also, try and volunteer at Kendall School as much as I can to, help our educators learn how they can best support Kendall as well.
Kendall, how old are you?
9.
What grade are you in?
4.
Do you like going to Gigi's Playhouse?
Yeah.
Why do you like going to Gigi's Playhouse?
Gigi's is so much fun.
Do you have a lot of friends there? What are some of your friends' names?
Who are some of your friends from Gigi's?
Matthew.
Matthew. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
Lucia. And
who else? We have Phoenix or Elliot or Maya. We have lots of friends, both little and adults.
Yes. What are some of the things that you like to do at Gigi's Playhouse, Kendall?
To play.
Yeah, what do you like to play while you're there? You forgot.
You color?
You play a lot of sports while you're there.
Oh, you play sometimes sports. I know that. I was going to get to that.
Do cooking class.
What? You know how to cook?
He loves to cook, so we do a kids cooking class while we're at GG's.
Wait a second. Kendall, what do you cook?
What do you like to cook?
I like to cook pizza.
That's my favorite. Next time I'm in Chapel Hill, can I come over to your house for pizza?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to make me some pizza?
Maybe.
Kendall, behind you, I see some football players. What's your favorite sport?
Tar Heels.
Whoa, what sport, though?
Football. No.
Football's your favorite?
Yeah.
I know you like the Tar Heels.
Yeah, we like football and basketball in this house.
No.
I know you like basketball. Don't try to tease me, Kendall. I've seen you at basketball games before.
That's right.
Rachel, when you advocate for Kendall, does it feel like it's getting easier, or do you feel like there's obstacles still in the way of trying to make sure he has what he needs?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think here in our local community, just the community in general has done a significant amount of work and has seen a lot of progress, you know, in the school system, at the university setting, like I was mentioning, in our healthcare, things are getting better. But there are definitely still some significant roadblocks and challenges. And, you know, it's sort of one of those, you don't really know what you don't know until you're forced to know it. And so that's kind of one of the things that I feel like I work really hard at, is to just educate people. You know, one of the things I like to tell the student athletes is that the likelihood that as they move into adulthood and either they or their friends start to have children, the likelihood that they will either have a child with Down syndrome or encounter a friend or family member that has a child with Down syndrome is pretty high. And so when that happens, what I would love from them is for their thoughts of Down syndrome to be what I have shared with them, and their understanding of Kendall and their experiences with Kendall, so that they walk away with a positive mindset about it, and they can tell themselves or their friends or families, congratulations, and they can feel happy and positive about, you know, a potential future diagnosis. And so I think that that is, you know, definitely moving us in the right direction.
So I'm going back to your comments about the Down syndrome clinic at UNC Chapel Hill. For 11 years, I took Frankie over to Lennox Baker at Duke, to Dr. Kishnani, who ran an incredible clinic. And I don't know if you ever met with her, but
we did. We visited with her several times.
Yeah, that's so such a confidence builder for me personally, just to make sure I didn't miss something or there was something on the quote Down syndrome checklist that you had to be able to make sure you were aware of. What kind of confidence does that give you as a mom, knowing that you're kind of checking all the boxes, making sure that this guy's good to go?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think living here in this area, you know, we're very fortunate that we have Duke and UNC and a lot of providers and medical specialists and resources. But one thing that still, you know, we as the parents have to be sort of that nucleus that connects all of these people together. And that's a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort to reach out to all the different providers and, you know, therapists, educators, make sure that they're in sync. It's a lot of work on the part of the parents. And one of the things that these comprehensive clinics do is help you with that. Yes. And so, yeah, that definitely is something. And even between Duke and UNC, their systems talk. And so it's so wonderful to be able to see a provider at either place and for them to have access to all of his records and to, you know, make it a little bit easier for us as the parents to be able to navigate the very complex health system that we have, as well as what could potentially be very complex health diagnoses that go along with Down syndrome.
I just love seeing Duke and Carolina getting along. It just makes me happy to see that there's a conduit between the two on something so important as this. I'm just being a little facetious, but, you know, it is good. It's important. I mean, we've got incredible medical facilities and resource in the Triangle area. We're so lucky for somebody. I don't live there now, but living there, growing up there, there's no question it's a big part of helping me have some knowledge and understanding of what we could do with Frankie, even though we were five hours away from the Lennox Baker.
Definitely. It's wonderful. Yeah.
So I want to share a little something about insurance and about something I did. Now, my husband never likes me talking about this, but I'm going to put it out there publicly, because back in the day when Frankie was two and there was this program called BabyNet, which was a federally funded program. Is that still around?
I've not heard of that.
BabyNet was a federally funded program that allowed parents like us with a child with special needs to be able to get certain resources, and the government paid for them. It was no cost to our insurance or anything like that. But once they aged out of three, your insurance kicked in, or that's the way I understood it. So I'm sure you're like us, like Kendall doesn't need any PT. You take care of that. You're an athlete. He does all that. But the OT and the speech were really important to us, especially the speech. So if our insurance company granted us 45 visits a year, 15 speech, 15 OT, 15 PT, I would say to the insurance company, well, you don't know my kid. I don't need the PT. I wanted you to roll those 15 into speech. And I actually take care of the OT myself. So I really need 45 speech. And they would say no. And I'd say, well, I'm doing it anyway. And then I'd keep doing it. And then when the bill came, I didn't pay it.
Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot of that, and there are a lot of Kendall's friends that I know whose insurance companies, like you're mentioning, they provide a maximum, you know, number of therapies per year across all the different types, and it's up to the parents to then decide how they're going to split that up. And so then parents are forced to choose which is more important, which therapy is more important, and that's a very difficult situation to be in when you just truly want everything
you need
that's
everything.
Available for your child to ensure, you know, optimum success for them.
Well, you know, Rachel, I didn't have a choice. I just did it. And there were circumstances that came later, but we took care of them. So it worked out for us. But I hear what you're saying. Like, I didn't like the insurance company trying to tell me what they thought my son needed. So one of my friends told me to send a picture of Frankie to put in the file, which I did. And so every time the insurance adjuster or whatever would look at it, he would open it up and there's a picture of Frank.
Now tell me
you're not going to do this, right?
Exactly.
So I don't know. That's just something we could put out there in the ether for maybe somebody else to pick up on. It was certainly a good idea. My friend recommended to me.
No, I agree. Yeah.
When you are around the athletes, do you feel like there's a greater sense of empathy, or do you feel like there's a greater ability to tolerate the differences that people all bring to the table?
I think it's both, honestly. I think it's, for me personally, it's been such a tremendous experience over the past 9 years with Kendall to watch him engage with the student athletes, specifically at the collegiate level.
Every time you mention his name, he smiles. Kendall, you
he's
can't
a little tired after school today. And Kendall gets a lot out of being with the athletes. He gets a lot of engagement, activity, but I'll tell you, I really think that the greater thing that comes out of it is what the athletes get from working with Kendall and Kendall's peers when we have events. It's so amazing to see the way that they interact. Like I said, men's and women's teams, all sports. The UNC women's lacrosse team, Kendall was an honorary team captain. I think he was 5. And when he was about 2 is when we really developed a relationship with the women's lacrosse team at Carolina. And they, for just years now, they have just taken him in. We see them all over town. We see them at events. We go to games. We have traveled with the team. And to see the way that, these girls who are in their early 20s just take to him and his friends is so wonderful. They hold a World Down Syndrome Day game for us every single year. They honor Kendall and his friends at halftime. They do all sorts of wonderful stuff. There's a lot of teams at UNC. I will say there are a lot of teams at Duke, and there are a lot of teams at NC State. And all three schools have worked so well together, specifically with Gigi's Playhouse too, to really provide an atmosphere at their games that is inclusive and that celebrates our friends with Down syndrome. And it's just such a wonderful thing to be a part of here in the community.
It is. It's so heartwarming. It gives me chills thinking about it, because I know all the people that you're talking about. Jenny Levin, the head coach for the lacrosse team, has been a national success story in many different ways, and is a mom who understands, you know.
Yep.
Just really good, like good people that you're referencing. Okay.
Yeah,
so
I was just going to give a plug. We do Victory Day with the NC State football team every year, and Coach Doran does that every year as part of their, the start of their fall camp. And it's so amazing to see these big burly guys, and they are so enthusiastic with all of the participants. They run drills with the participants. They let them run touchdowns. The band is there. It's, you know, there's media, like it's such a big deal. And it's so wonderful for our participants to be involved and to feel like they're part of this great, you know, it's in Carter Finley. It's the lights are on. Like it is such an experience that most of the time they wouldn't otherwise get. But then Coach Doran has also told us many times about how, you know, his team walks away from that feeling so, you know, enthused at the start of their season, and it just really boosts their morale, their culture. Like it's such a wonderful thing to be a part of. And, you know, like I said, all three schools here in the Triangle have done a lot, and it's really great to see.
Kendall, when you go to NC State to football practice, do you wear your Carolina football jersey?
No, we don't. We wear red and black.
What do you wear?
So we wear red and black.
We wear red and black.
Okay, buddy. So, Rachel, since you brought up Coach Doran, he's a really good friend of mine, and he has helped me in multiple ways with the Elevate program at NC State. He was willing before anyone else to put his name and face to it, which was so powerful for me trying to get the program started on campus, because I knew he had my back no matter what office I was in or whatever conversation I was having. I would drop his name, and he fully supported it because he really wanted to help us families. Yep. Like his family. He has Jacob, his son, who is on the autism spectrum, who did some different things in college, but did go to college. But that's why he and Sarah created One Pack Empowered, which is a little bit different than what the Elevate program is. Still in the same family, but totally different, honestly. When you think about NC State, Elevate, the students at the time of this taping today had their final exams for their first semester. So they are all our first semester college graduates so far. You know, it's pretty exciting.
It's awesome.
And I've had a chance to speak to some moms and some of the students as they prepare to become a residential program in the fall. What about North Carolina? What about the university? You know, the North Carolina General Assembly appropriated money for NC State, $3 million recurring funds. North Carolina Central on the House floor went, what about us? There's only one HBCU outside of NC Central that will start in the fall as a sister program to NC State. What about the Heels? What do we got to do?
You know, I am here and ready to do whatever it takes. And I've got an army of parents here in the community that would help me. You know, I don't know, but I am putting my name out there to, you know, be someone that would advocate as much as I have to get something yes. like that going.
Well, I'm going to put you on my team.
Yeah, absolutely. We took a couple years ago down to Clemson, to the Clemson Life program, and visited, and he participated in a promo video for them. And it was such a magical experience to see that something like that exists. I know you're obviously very familiar with it. And, you know, it had, from birth, it had been my dream and my thought that Kendall should go to college just like, you know, his brother, and that should be our plan for him. But then being at Clemson and seeing their program just was like, yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, Western Carolina, UNC Greensboro that have programs. And then to hear that NC State now has one, it's so exciting to think that there's one so close to us that, you know, will be available for Kendall. And it would be even more amazing if there was one here at UNC too.
Well, where did Kendall leave? I want to show him something.
Kendall's here. Kendall's real.
Kendall, look, this is my son, Frankie. You see him?
You see Frankie? Yeah.
This is what we call flat Frankie. I want your mom to make a flat Kendall.
Look.
I carry this around with me everywhere I go. Next time I see you, I'll take a picture with you with this. Usually I like to.
There we go.
Let's see your muscles. Looking pretty good, dude. Looking pretty good.
Okay.
We're going to work on that together, Rachel, because I do think there's some avenues and some people to connect with that based on a platform that I have used in the past to try to elevate literally our families, which gets us to Special Olympics. So I want to talk to you about that for a minute, because this is a part of our live stream. And so at some point during the 24 hours, this interview will run, and you love sport and we love sport, and Special Olympics has been so important to our journey. it gave Frankie the confidence and the ability to be a good teammate and learn lots of things, the same things you want your other kids to learn. When you look at what sport has done for you guys, what would be a couple of things that you would point to as really important parts of Kendall's journey so far?
I mean, honestly, I feel like there's, outside of him being at school, that is what has really gotten Kendall to where he's at, is participating in sports. We have done some with the Special Olympics. We've done a significant amount here with just our local rec team, and Kendall participating with his peers from school in baseball, flag football, basketball, soccer. Mm-hmm. He does everything, and being able to participate with his peers makes him feel very included. Like I mentioned, he has a 15-year-old brother who's heavily involved in sports. And so that's all he knows is what, you know, he's from birth has watched his brother play sports. And so for Kendall, it's super important to be able to participate in sports as well, whatever that may look like. And for him, it's given him confidence. It has, you know, really helped his gross motor. It has, you know, just the culture of being on a team. They're all things that have really helped Kendall get to the place that he's at today.
Well, I know that's what has helped Frankie, and that's part of the reason why we're doing this in our seventh year. You know, we've crossed over 1 million already in year six, and we're hoping to get to the second million faster. And sharing stories like yours and Kendall's brings such a bright light and shines a light on everything that we're doing. So North Carolina Special Olympics is a partner of ours in this. They do some satellite events, and we're just going to keep shooting free throws, like I say, on the air till my arm falls off.
I love it.
Just keep putting a spotlight on this, because, you know, it's really not about the free throws. It's about you and Kendall. It's about Frankie and his friends, and it's about all the families like ours that have been impacted through sport. So, Rachel, I'm so grateful for your time. We got a lot of projects that we can work on.
Yeah, I love it. I look forward to it. You know, I mean, this is personal for us, and it's about Kendall and Frankie, like you said, but it's about all their friends all over the state, all over the country, and doing everything that we can to just make sure that, you know, they're as successful as they can be. You know, I just wanted to personally let you know that I have followed your story for a very long time. I am actually an undergraduate of NC State. And so I have always known who you are in my love of sports. And so I received a prenatal diagnosis for Kendall. And so one of the very first things that I did while I was pregnant was obviously a lot of Google research and, you know, learned about you and Frankie and watched a lot of videos of Frankie and read about Frankie and all. He might have been in middle school at that time, but all he was doing at his school with the basketball team at school, at the high school level, I definitely followed him. And you and I have a mutual friend in common. And so she also reached out to me and said, hey, my friend Debbie has a son with Down syndrome. So, you know, I have definitely looked to you and Frankie and all that you have done as an inspiration for all that I want to do here in my community.
Well, thank you for saying that. That is always emotional for me, because I know what a struggle it can be. I didn't handle it well at the beginning. I didn't have a prenatal diagnosis. Frankie was born in about an hour or so after he was born. The doctor came in, and actually he came in my room three times before he actually told Frank and I that he was showing signs and symbols of having Down syndrome. So we had no preparation. We didn't know. And it was hard at the beginning. So I didn't have a whole lot to look to, but today it's different.
Yes.
Because there is hope, and your kid, like Frankie's done everything except for really drive a car. And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
Three boys, we don't need three driving cars around here. Two's okay. You know, like it's just an interesting, different way of having an attitude of hope or of, you know, other people that inspired us as well. So I'm so grateful that you said that, because that's what we want to do. And that's what we're doing with 24 Hours Nothing But Net.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, in the age of the internet and social media today, you know, I had the opportunity to sit back and do some research without having to step out of my comfort zone and have uncomfortable conversations when I wasn't ready to do that yet. Mm-hmm. But that also allowed me an opportunity to expose myself to this new world that I was, you know, getting ready to dive headfirst into that I knew nothing about, and to sort of gather some sort of a comfort level and to see all these other families that were doing the same things that my family already loved to do and that they were continuing to do. And that just sort of gave me the confidence to continue to move forward and propel my family forward. And just, I felt empowered to do whatever I needed to do to step up for my son, for my family, for my, you know, for Kendall's brother who is walking this journey alongside us, and to make sure that as he was five when Kendall was born. So, you know, to make sure that he was comfortable and he had all the tools and resources that he needed to learn how to be the most supportive brother that he could be. And so seeing families like yours, families of all boys, and, you know, just the sports, and to know that Kendall could participate in sports, like I said, at whatever level that looked like, well, you know, those opportunities exist for him, and there's no reason that I should feel like he won't be able to accomplish that.
You know, there's so many similarities there. And you said it so well, but I remember pushing the stroller behind Joey and seeing the world with your first kid as one way.
Yes.
Then you push the stroller behind Frankie, and there are things just are different, and it's hard to explain it. I hope that one day I can put it all down on paper and share it, because the vulnerability of what we go through as parents, trying to make sure that everybody's taken care of, including, you know, my older son who was 2.5 years, Joey was 2.5 years older. And then we waited 5 years before we had Patrick because we just didn't know what we could handle.
Right.
So there's a whole lot of things that you consider and you put into place there, but as many people as came before us that helped carve some sort of path, it's not the same path that you're ever going to be on. It's always going to be something different. It's going to require. And I had a lot more resistance, I felt like, once we got to middle school and high school than I did in elementary school. So your greatest challenges are ahead of you. And for parents out there like us, that's the most challenging time.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of stories I have about those times that I'll share with you some other time. But there's a whole fireside chat that we could do as a fundraiser one day for 24 hours, nothing but net in Chapel Hill with all your friends to help raise some money for. I mean, I know Gigi's Playhouse would be one place, but Special Olympics would be certainly a place.
The Special Olympics community here in Chapel Hill is huge, and they do a really, really great job. So, yeah, we always love to, you know, be a part of anything that the Special Olympics is doing.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for your time, Rachel. This has been such an enlightening, inspiring conversation for me too. And you have helped us with 24 Hours Nothing But Net, because somebody out there that's watching and listening is going to send one penny for every free throw I make. That's $24 for Special Olympics, and it goes right to help athletes like Kendall train, compete, organize, and socialize. So thank you so much for spending your time with us.
Thank you.